For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the virtues or the characteristics, the manifestation, what shows in the life of a Christian who is truly following Jesus. We have looked at love, joy, peace, self-control, and hope. And then we took a break last week for Mother's Day and to celebrate the retirement of our mortgage. What a great, great day it was. Amen? Great day. Being a mom is probably the toughest and yet most thankless job in the world. You never stop being a mom. And so once again today, we say thank you to our moms. If you are a mother of boys, you probably know that a three-year-old boy's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. If you're a mother of boys, you probably know that when you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's too late. You probably know that brake fluid mixed with Clorox makes smoke, and a lot of it. You probably know that certain Legos will pass through the digestive tract. You probably know that Play-Doh and microwave should not be used in the same sentence. You probably know that garbage bags do not make good parachutes. And you probably know that the spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. Now, the kids are going to go home and throw the cat in the dryer, and the men are going to go home and get some Clorox and some brake fluid. Y'all stop that. So now we come to patience. Being a mom certainly requires a lot of patience, among other things. Muddy footprints on the brand new carpet, frogs in the toilet, nasty attitudes, bad grades, stupid choices, and rolling eyes. Constant reminders. Repeating yourself again and again, louder and louder each time. It's enough to make you scream, and sometimes you do. Patience is definitely a resource that seems to keep running out. But you don't need to be a mom to have your patience put to the test. You just need to interact with other people. I have to admit, I can be very impatient. Especially on the phone. It annoys me to no end to call a business and get a message that goes something like this. Thank you for your call. It is important to us. Please listen carefully as our options have changed. Press 1 for English. Press 2 for Spanish. Press 3 for Swahili. Or, here's one of my favorite, for sales, press 1. For service, press 2. For all other options, press 3. For faster service, visit our website at www.goodluck.com. To speak to a real person, press 0. Please enjoy this music while I try to connect you. And then the next voice you hear says, if you would like to place a call, please hang up and try your call again. And what's with those people who get in the self-checkout lines and then have to call for an attendant to come help them check out? What part of self-checkout do you not get? And let's not get started on the person driving 29 miles an hour on the interstate in the left lane. With the right turn signal on. We all have multiple opportunities every day to keep our cool or to lose it. Traffic, deadlines, annoying people, standing in line, being put on hold again, frustrating people. The areas of life in which we become impatient usually revolve around one of two things, people or time. 99% of the time when we struggle with being patient, it's usually because of the words, the actions, or attitudes of another person, or it's because we are in a hurry. We're always trying to figure how to cram more and more things that need to be done into less and less time. We allow less and less time to get things done. We don't want to waste time, and the time crunch is felt by nearly everyone. Certainly, there are self-imposed pressures we should avoid altogether, overcommitting on our to-do lists, overextending our resources, and putting ourselves in compromising situations. And likewise, there are situations outside our control. An illness, a mate loses their job, a child faces difficult choices, an accident takes the life of a friend or loved one. Maybe you pray like many others, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." It's been said if you ask God for patience, He will not give you more patience, but He will give you more opportunities to be patient. That's why Barbie and I have 4 kids. Patience is the capacity to accept or to tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. The wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus said, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Patience equals wisdom or understanding. Impatience equals foolishness or folly. Where do we get this rare resource called patience that always seems to be in such short supply? How does God provide help that I need to deal with the stresses of my life? Well, 3 things. First of all, by example. That is, God is patient with us, isn't He? The Bible is full of stories of how patient God was with people, long-suffering. When you think back on the story of your own life, how many times can you see God has been patient with you? Peter tells us in his 2nd letter, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. In fact, He's just being patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." See, God doesn't jump all over you when you make a mistake. Aren't you glad? He doesn't give up on you when you ignore Him or walk away or intentionally defy Him. And He's not disappointed when you drop the ball. He waits. He waits patiently. He waits for you to repent, to ask for His help, and to return to Him. The psalmist says, "But You, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." If God is patient with me, then surely I can try at least to be more patient with others. I can be patient with my children who get out of bed over and over again because they're thirsty, or they need to go potty, or they have an owie, or they heard a strange noise or saw a scary shadow. I can be patient with my spouse. Ladies, this is for you. When they leave the toilet seat up, or when they leave the car windows down in the rain. I can be patient with that jerk who takes up 2 parking spaces in a crowded parking lot. I can be patient with that kid who bagged my eggs in the bottom of the bag under the cans of soup. God helps me by His own example of being patient with me. But secondly, He also helps me by empowerment. He gives me the power to be patient. Like all these virtues we are discussing, patience is something God produces in us over time as we continue to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, where it lists in verses 22 and 23 the fruit of the Spirit, I like the way the New Living Testament translates it, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's not of our own. How many of you are naturally patient? Anybody? You know, one? Me too. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we let God refine us, He gives us the strength to persevere. And He gives us the perspective to see life through His eyes and not see just our own urgency. James tells us in his first chapter, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Patience is something that is slow-aged like fine wine. It takes patience to produce patience. A man noticed a lady in the grocery store with her 3-year-old in her cart. As they went down one aisle, the child asked for cookies, and the mother said no, and the little girl began to cry loudly. Her mother patiently said, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. It won't be long." The same thing happened down the candy aisle. This time, the little girl kicked and screamed, and mother said, "There, there, Missy, only 2 more aisles and we'll be done." At the checkout counter, the child reached for the gum. When her mom said no, she began to scream louder and louder, and the mother said patiently, "Missy, we'll be through this checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then we can go home and both of us have a nice nap." The man followed them out to the parking lot and complimented the woman. "I couldn't help noticing how patient you were with little Missy." And the mother replied, "Thank you. But my little girl is Francine. I'm Missy." And he helps us with this patient thing by encouragement. Particularly encouragement from fellow Christians. How many times has someone come to your side and tried to calm you down and say, "Hey, it's not that important. It's okay. It's not that important." We all have an ideal of what should happen, when it should happen, and how it should happen. And that rarely matches up with someone else's ideal of what, when, and how. We live in a society that demands my way right away. We're conditioned to believe we should never have to wait on anyone for anything. We look for computers that are faster. We want cars that go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. I had to think about that. What's the legal limit now? And by the way, that 70 mile an hour, that's a limit, not a suggestion. Just saying. We're conditioned to believe that we shouldn't have to wait on anyone for anything. And what we're saying is, my time and ultimately my life is more important than yours. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesian church, "Be completely, completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Patience demands we sacrifice the self-importance of our own personal agendas for the sake of others, instead of demanding our own schedule, our own timing, our own outcomes. We think of others more highly than ourselves. Well, why then is it we can be the most impatient with the ones we love the most? Our children, our spouses, our parents, our siblings. It's amazing, I think, this is my opinion, that great love chapter, what's the great love chapter? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul's talking about love. Beginning at verse 4, where he starts describing what love is, what it's like, the characteristics of love. What's the first thing he says? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is the first and foremost, it is first and foremost patient. Remember Psalm 103, the Lord is passionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Aren't you thankful? That's the kind of husband and father and friend and pastor I want to be. Not the impatient, quick-tempered, easily annoyed kind that I can be, and from time to time I have been. God provides the help we need to deal with the daily stresses of life by His example, by His empowerment in our lives through His Holy Spirit, and by the encouragement of other Christians along the way. And I'm thankful to have all three of those in my life. I hope you do too. But is there anything we can do to develop more patience? Well, I think there is. There are two things you and I can work on more every day to help develop patience. And the first one is to slow down. Take a deep breath. Barton Sparrigan, medical doctor, family practice in San Francisco, says impatience is killing us. Email, cell phones, and laptops are to blame. Because of these devices, we now bring work home, and we even take work on vacation. Technology has increased the pressure to do more in the same amount of hours, and our impatience has led to some serious health problems. They're problems that Dr. Sparrigan calls hurry sickness. Heart attacks, palpitations, depression, anxiety, immune disorders, digestive ills, insomnia, and migraines used to be the domain of the 40 to 50 year old age group. But now these symptoms are showing up in the 20 to 30 year olds. Even worse, symptoms like hypertension, migraines, and digestive problems that were never before seen in children are showing up in kids as young as 10 years old. Bottom line, impatience may be turning you into a patient. Why is it, as the pace of life has quickened dramatically, we seem to be growing ever more impatient? We get impatient with a train crossing, with a delayed flight, with a red light. Did you know that the annual cost of people running red lights in the United States is a staggering $7 billion a year? And the amount of time saved on the average by running through a red light is 50 seconds. We get impatient with poor cell phone reception in places you couldn't even find on a map 20 years ago. We get impatient with long lines in the drive-thru. We get impatient sitting at the computer watching that little circle go round and round while a file is downloading. How many of you remember your first computer? Remember that? My first computer was a Texas Instrument that used a cassette tape to store your data on. Anybody have something like that? I thought I had died and gone to heaven when the church bought me a Commodore 64. Wow, that was the best thing ever. It had a 20 megabyte hard drive. I remember saying, who in the world would ever need 20 megabytes of memory? And if you had to work with a Commodore 64 today, how many of you would that drive nuts? And yet we sit at those computers and watch that little circle while that picture tries to download, and it gets almost done, and then the internet goes down. Well, our day's just ruined right there, isn't it? We find ourselves frustrated when we have to wait 5 minutes for something that used to take 5 hours just 5 years ago. We go through life at breakneck speed, and if anything causes us to slow down or slow our sprint to a job, we just freak out. So much of our impatience comes through the pace we try to keep. We get tired and stressed because our schedules are too busy and our plates are too full. And then we take it out on someone else. Slow down. Two words for patience. If you read your chapter this week, he described these as well. The New Testament has two different Greek words to describe patience. The first word, makrothymia. It's literally translated long anger, and it carries the sense of taking a long time to burn with anger. It takes a long time for something to really get you to blow your top. Think about a pot of boiling water and what factors determine how fast that water boils. And no, it's not true that if you stand there and watch it, it's going to boil slower. Water boils quickly when the flame is high, and it boils slowly when the flame is low. And the speed of the boil will also be affected by the capacity of the pot. A small pot will boil faster than a large pot. Doesn't that make sense? So ask yourself this question: what's the temperature at which you boil? How long does it take you to lose your cool? How long does it take before you overheat and get hot under the collar? Now, in life, you can't always control the size of the flame, but you can control the size of the pot or your capacity for patience. A simple scenario that he gives in the book, and that was also in our study this morning: imagine being in a very irritating situation and someone sticks a spiritual thermometer in your mouth to monitor how long it takes for your temperature to rise. A year later, you are in the same situation. Would that thermometer show it takes longer for you to overheat now than it did a year ago? If so, you're growing in patience. Growing in patience means taking longer and longer to lose your control, taking longer and longer to surrender to the frustration and agitation. Slowing down our lives slows down the boil, even when the flames get higher. Slowing down allows us to see what God has given us. Slowing down allows us time to think of others. Slowing down closes the gap between where we are and where God wants us to be, and gives Him time to develop compassion and mercy and love in us for others. The second word for patience is hypomone. And it literally means to remain under. It carries the sense of remaining calm under pressure. It's often translated in the Scriptures as perseverance. No matter what happens, you just keep your cool and keep going. You persevere. So the second thing we can do is to keep moving. Now that may sound a little contradictory. Slow down. Keep moving. It's not. We can avoid many pressures and stresses by simply slowing down. But it doesn't mean to come to a complete stop. Think about this. You can still get run over if you're on the right track if you just sit there. Keep moving. Unavoidable situations and circumstances come our way, and we just have to deal with them. Again, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul begins his description of love with the first word, and it's translated patient. And in describing what love does, down in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, this is what love does. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love keeps its cool and keeps going under pressure. Maybe your marriage is really struggling right now and you just want to jump ship. Maybe your children are really testing your nerves and you just want to ignore them so you don't shoot them. Maybe your job is really stressful and you just want to quit. Maybe your health is suffering and you just don't want to fight the battle anymore. When we hit situations like those, we usually want the quickest results. But God wants the best results. And sometimes the best is going to take time. Again, in his letter, James tells us, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When we're tempted to lose our temper, or to run away, or to seek revenge, God encourages and empowers us to keep calm, stick it out, persevere, and forgive like he does with us. I love the story of the little girl who visited a farm one day, and she asked to buy a large watermelon. The farmer told her, "Well, the large ones cost $5. The little girl counted her money again and then said, "I only have $3. Well, pointing to one on the vine out there in the field still, the farmer said, "Well, $3 will get you a small watermelon." The little girl smiled and said, "Okay, I'll take it. Here's your $3. But you can just leave it on the vine. I'll be back for it in a month." How's that? That's a pretty smart little girl, isn't it? She knew her patience would be rewarded with a large, ripe watermelon for the same price as a small, immature one if she just had patience. What are you missing because you're too impatient to wait for it? Father God, this morning, as we said earlier, we all have opportunities every day to keep our cool or to lose it. Situations and people and time crunches surround us probably close to 24 hours a day. Patience. I think most everybody says, "I'm lacking patience." Many will say, "I have no patience." We've often said, "I'm losing my patience." And some say, "I have lost my patience." Truth of the matter is, as a believer, we have your Holy Spirit to empower us with the ability to have a growing sense of patience. And I'm confident there are many in this room who can say that although patience is still something they struggle with, they can look back and say, 10 years ago I'd have lost my cool completely with that. And today they can say, we realize it's not that important. And we can be more patient with one another, even more patient with ourselves. Father, my prayer today would be that we would be patient with your church. Your church is made up of people. And that we would be patient with a lost world who is outside of Christ, because they're seeking for something that's right in front of them and can't see it. And it's easy to lose patience with that. But Father, you have been so patient with us until we saw it. I pray you will help us to be patient with our nation. We have so many things going on right now nationally that just send us way off our rockers with impatience. We really do get hot under the collar. Instead of turning that attention to you and seeking your face as we repent of our wickedness and our sin, instead of being patient and waiting on the Lord, Father, I pray you'll help us to slow down, catch a deep breath, to see a sunset or a sunrise. That we'll take a moment to watch the children play and not fuss at them for being so loud doing it. I pray you'll help us to slow down. But at the same time, help us to keep moving. moving toward the person you want us to be. Thanking you for the example you've given us as you've waited on us, for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives you've given us, and for the encouragement of your church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are right there to see us through those stressful times. And in all things, we pray you will forgive us and help us to forgive one another as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.